Hey, everybody, Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield, or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.
All right, welcome to the KNBR pregame show. Kerry Crowley and I are going to welcome in our guest. He's a member of the KNBR family. You can read his work on KNBR.com or look and work at Mark W. Sanchez on Twitter. So let's bring in Mark Sanchez. How are you doing today, Mark?
Doing well. Thanks, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. Gabe Kapler came out on a Zoom and told us a lot about the injuries. Could you update the fans on what he told us and tell us a little bit about what you know?
Yeah, that's pretty much the entire Zoom was comprised of injury updates, and that's kind of the status of the team right now. The significant news, I think, is Reyes Maranta hit a stumbling block on his return. He was supposed to be able to return tomorrow if everything went well, but he had experienced some forearm tightness while throwing a bullpen yesterday, which probably means they'll shut him down for a while. They send him to a doctor to get him checked up on, but you know, after shoulder surgery and then after the flexor strain that put him on the IL in the first place, it's one more thing that's standing in the way for him. And it's hard to know, you know, without the doctor visit yet, just how he is. But that's a tough blow pretty much as right when he was on the verge of coming back. Beyond him, Brandon Crawford is out of the lineup again today with his calf contusion. They said he'll check on him and hopefully he can come off the bench, but they're not sure yet. Mike Yastrzemski should be back as early as Friday. So there's one bit of good news that came out of today. Cueto threw a bullpen session yesterday. They think probably he'll be back early next week, and then that'll be another rotation question for a rotation that's still pitching well. I think that were all the updates, but yeah, there were a lot of them today.
Mark, I think earlier this week we had a session with Gabe Kapler where he touched on 12 to 13 different guys, and that's kind of been the state of the Giants in terms of their injuries. One player who has looked really fresh and hasn't been hindered by much lately, and that's Buster Posey. And he's out of the lineup today because the Giants are continuing to give him that day game after a night game off. But we talked to Gabe yesterday about the possibility of Buster appearing at first base this season. It's something that he kind of wrote off during spring training. But do you think there's any, you know, temptation on Gabe's part to put Posey in the lineup at first base now that his bat has gotten so hot and he does look so fresh at the plate?
Temptation is the right word. And I think that was the word Gabe used too, because when your catcher is hitting 360 and looking like, you know, the MVP that he was, I think you want to that in the lineup really as often as you can, especially with all, you know, the injuries around the Giants infield. If you can put a righty bat at first, that really helps things. You know, for now, he says no. The fact that they're getting him Posey a day off really every 3 days or so, for a guy who's still coming off hip surgery, for a guy who's, you know, getting older and they're not exactly sure how he's going to recover after not playing at all in 2020, they love how he looks right now, but it sounds like they want to just keep him as it is right now, where two on, one off. You know, if it's a day game after a night game, they're probably going to bench him. You know, the fact that his body is recovering as well as it is awfully encouraging for really everyone involved. The vibe I'm getting so far, at least, is they don't want to push that. So, you know, maybe if you get into June and July and he's still hitting like this and his body is telling him I can do more, then maybe you make that decision. But I think right now they're happy with Casale and Posey sort of taking turns there.
Hey, Mark, Tommy La Stella signed a nice 3-year contract in the offseason, and he just is coming off a slow start, just really not producing at the leadoff spot as we thought he would be. Tell me what you think, what's going wrong with him, and is there a replacement possibly at the leadoff spot?
I'm not sure I've seen the last time I can remember seeing Tommy La Stella strike out in 3 pitches like he did yesterday off the bench. That was the first time I was like, wow, there's something really going on with him. I think it's just a slow start, you know, and he's still hitting the ball hard. If you look at the expected statistics, he's supposed to be theoretically at least hitting a lot better than he is right now, where his average is in the low 200s, should be up another 70 or 80 points just by the way he's hitting the ball. So I think he's a victim of bad luck. What makes it a little bit more frustrating, I'm sure, for the Giants and for their fans is he has not played a great second base defense either, and that was on display the other day when you know, they're trying to play him far back because he's not the fastest guy in the world, and they want him to give him better range. And when he plays that far back and the ball is hit softly in front of him, he can't come up with it. You know, it's sort of one thing leading into another right now. I think they're going to stay with him at the top of the lineup. You know, he's still seeing a ton of pitches for the most part. He's still getting, you know, he's striking out more than he did last year, but I think that was going to happen regardless. And he's still hitting the ball hard for the most part. But you're right. The fact that, you know, when you're with a new team and when you are the longest commitment of the Barnes ID regime so far, I think you want to make a better first impression than he has. But I think he'll be fine in the end.
Mark, you hit on a major theme of this show, expected batting average. It's a topic that Bill, Marty, and I love to talk about each week. Marty giving me a hard time for believing that Mauricio Dubon is due for a breakout. But another thing that I want to ask you about this offense, and Bill has touched on this a lot, is the strikeouts. And we've seen so many the past 2 nights, I think 28 over the last 2 games. And I'm curious, now that we've, you know, gone through a few years of the Farhan Zaidi, Gabe Kapler regime, we now know what the offensive philosophy is, and we know that they want to grind down starting pitchers. Do you think that this team's having a little bit of a struggle balancing all of the takes right now with being aggressive at pitches in the strike zone? Because it feels to me like we are seeing so many looking strikeouts, and I know that that just enrages a fan base.
Oh, for sure, and that's a good point. You know, I remember last year, huge part of the storyline of the season was how well they hit with 2 strikes, where not only was Mike Yastrzemski hitting better with 2 strikes, but he was hitting for more power. But when there were 2 strikes on him, that's when he would get a lot of his home runs. And that is sort of the philosophy of the staff is, you know, if it's a borderline pitch that you're not going to do real damage on anyway, you know, you might swat it off the other way. You're better off taking it, hoping it's a ball, and if it's strike 3, then it's strike 3, and you wait for your next at bat, and maybe the ball comes into your zone where you can do more damage on it. That is the type of thing that I think you're just going to have to accept with this team, that there are times when it looks like, you know, they're taking a 3rd strike, and it infuriates the fans, and they just kind of walk back to the dugout without much emotion, and I think people would rather see them, you know, throw their helmet and do things like that. But the entire philosophy is, it's about process. It's about looking at or waiting for the pitch that you could do damage on, and if it doesn't come, then it doesn't come. That is a tough thing to sort of stomach when it's not working. But when it is working, it's highly effective. And that's sort of, you know, it's not just the Giants. It's a whole lot of teams around the league trying to do as much damage when they can against, you know, the best pitching in the world, that, you know, you're better off going for a home run than you are stringing 3 singles together. I fully understand why it would make people angry, but I do think that, you know, with the team that they have and the philosophy that they have, it's, for the most part, it's one that works.
Mark Sanchez joining Kerry and I on the pregame show. Mark, the San Diego Padres are blowing teams away with stolen bases. They have 35 on the early season so far. Kansas City's next with 22. The Giants have 13. Tell me your thoughts on this team when they get on the bags, and they don't have a problem double stealing. They did it last night. They did it against the Dodgers. What makes this team so aggressive on the bases?
It's great to see, isn't it? Like, I feel like that's something that's desperately been needed in baseball. And maybe this is the new market inefficiency that, you know, for forever you weren't supposed to steal because you were supposed to wait for those home runs. And maybe, you know, when teams are looking for more power from their catchers and maybe not have the best arms, at least that's a tool that they really care about. And when you've got a lot of athleticism on your team, then you can just take off and you can, you know, those steals a second and steals a third, and then maybe there's a wild pitch. That is how you manufacture runs. And that's something that not a lot of teams are doing. And I do think that the Giants want to do more of that. And I think we saw that in spring training. I think we're seeing that with a guy like Slater, who I think has five or six steals when, you know, before last year, that would have been a season high. You know, he's speedy, and he is one of the few ones on the Giants who actually can do it. So I think we're seeing with the Padres, you know, the athleticism that they have and that they're willing to take advantage of. I'm not sure the Giants are athletic as they are, and that's sort of what's holding them back right now. But I think in theory, they would love to be a team more like them that takes these chances on the bases and is mostly successful with it.
Hey, Mark, before we let you go here, Giants 0-2 to start the road trip with back-to-back losses in San Diego. It's a six-game trip, three games coming up in Colorado after today. What's your prediction for the final record on this trip?
I love prediction baseball.
That's why I asked.
I figure, you know, if I say they're going 3-1, then, you know, who cares? I'm saying they're going 2-2, then who cares? The only way that you can look good on this is if you predict radically one way or the other. So I'm going to say they're not losing another game here. They've got Gausman going today. They're then heading to Colorado where, you know, the Rockies are a really, really bad team, and especially in the NL West. That's going to be highlighted this year, and I think they're going to lose 100 games. So that's my fearless prediction here is they're sailing the rest of the way.
Thank you, Mark and Carrie, on the pregame show. Coming up next, Marty Lurie gets to talk to Nick Pecoraro, who's the Arizona Diamondback beat writer, on the KNBR pregame show, 104.5 680, the sports leader. Coming up next.
Hey, everybody. Brian Murphy here. And you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.